All right, have your book open to the Psalm chapter number 37. I think it was last year around the summer till the end of the year we went through the book of Psalms, or I preached many messages out of the book of Psalms for probably 3 or 4 months, and really there's so much good stuff in the book of Psalms you could really preach on it for a long, long, long time. Thank you for being faithful, and thank you for being here tonight. It's the time of year when we're looking forward to school, a little bit different than in years past, but we are excited about it and getting back to a little bit of trying to get back on schedule, and really looking forward to getting back on schedule with our bus ministry and all of our different ministries here. And so just be praying about us, praying about that as we go forward. But thank you for being faithful and faithful to church and faithful to the Lord. We're going to be looking at Psalm chapter 37. This time of year, it's the, and I'm grateful for it, it's the end of vacation season, right? Everybody's been taking vacations. Ours was a little bit later this year. I don't like coming back late in August, but we had to because there was a lot of different things in the church we had to deal with. But I enjoy vacation with my family. But when we get to the end of vacation, it's like, I'm done. I want to get home. I'm tired of vacation. Is there anybody else that's like that? It's like, you know, a week with your family is great. A week and a half is okay. And anything past that, it could be really, really bad. But a lot of people, we all of us, and I've seen your Instagram and your different things, and you've told me about it. We all take trips, and we do that because we want to be with our families, and we need to make memories with our families and have a great, great time. Each and every year, I take my wife, and we've been doing it since we've had one child, two, we started. Every year, I take her up to see her family, and we drive up there, and I can remember a lot of things about our trips. I can remember flat tires. I can remember getting lost. One year, we were driving there, and I was very tired, and my wife took over, and I woke up a few hours later, and we were driving through clouds. And I'm like, I know we drive on flatland. Why are we driving through clouds? We got lost. I've got lost before. One time, I had to cut across the 99, and we're going through farmers things. It was bad, but we have a lot of great times. I've hit a deer one time. A big old deer just jumped right out in front of me. I nailed him perfectly. I hit the middle of his body with the corner of the minivan, and he flew and spun like a propeller, like bzz, out of the way. And so what I did is I tied it to the top of my van, cut his head off, and I hung him on my wall. And they're like, "What did you bag him with?" It's like, minivan. Got him with a minivan. You have to be a really good hunter to get a deer with a minivan. But we've had a lot of good times. We've had if you have small children, the pit stops, right? The middle of nowhere, I got to go potty. And it's like, there's not a potty to be found. And so you improvise, which is okay, except if a certain gender has to go. And so one of the children one time had stomach issues. And they'd give us a warning. We just slide the door open, hold them out, bring them back in, close the door, and on our way we went. But vacations are a lot of fun. Trips are a lot of fun. The worst, though, was our honeymoon. Not for that reason, hon. We got married, and someone gave us a Subaru. And so part of our honeymoon, we decided to come from Washington to come down here and visit my family. By the time we got here, the engine blew up. So we're stuck without a car. My sister gave us a red Ford Mustang. Now, one of those three words is bad. Which word is it? It's the middle word, Ford. Okay? And so we took that car, and we're driving back to college in Indiana, and we're driving through the middle of Utah. It's 100 and something degrees. I mean, it was desert. The car blew up. And my wife's sitting there. She's crying. I'm like, man, I'm really doing a really good job to get this thing apart. So we got off on the side of the road. I'm like, we're going to hitchhike. Okay? And sure enough, guess who picked us up? A Mormon. I told my wife, like, we're in the middle of nowhere, so if they talk to us about Mormonism, listen and get converted, okay? We're not going to be walking here. So we ended up getting in there, and the car was done, and so we had to hop a bus to get home. But we've had a lot of good times. A lot of folks, and maybe some of you are like this, you try to plan that one trip in your life, and they call it the trip of a lifetime. It's that one trip you look forward to, and you're gonna get everything you want. It's the place you want to go. It's the time you want to be. Well, I want to talk to us this evening about the trip of a lifetime, but not like you're thinking of. I'm thinking about our spiritual journey on this earth. This psalm, David talks about an age-old question that Christians have faced for many years. And this one, why does it seem that the righteous endure trouble while the wicked seem to prosper? Why is it does it seem like those that don't know God have more than those who are Christians? This is laid out in several of the Psalms. We see at the beginning, look at Psalm chapter 37, verse 1. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass, wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart." And as you go through the psalm, David talks more about the wicked. David wrote this. It's towards the end of his life. He had probably seen that several times where it seems that those that do wrong are blessed. There's a whole psalm in the Bible, Psalm chapter 73, written by Asaph. And Asaph said that it bothered him so much that he almost got to the point where his steps were sliding. It was starting to affect his faith, and it was starting to hurt him. But David draws us back to the fact that as Christians, we must look at life from an eternal perspective and not a temporal perspective. And by the way, if you look at life from that perspective, you may seem that, well, Christians are getting gypped and we're not, how come they? Because this is only a small part of eternity. We can't just look at life from a small perspective. We have to look at life from an eternal perspective. You read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it seems like those people lost out. But then you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and read the end of the story. They didn't lose out. Their life wasn't meaningless. They had the right perspective. It does not hurt to serve God with your life. David ties it together in verse 39 and 40. Look at those with me, please. He says, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble." By the way, the wicked don't have that. I get irritated. I told you, I'm not trying to harp, but I backed off of a lot of things. Even social media, I'm very selective. I don't want to hear all the nonsense and the garbage. I want to know enough to stay informed. I don't need all the drama. That's why I'm not paying any attention to sports. You can't tune into a game without them throwing it in your face. I'm done with it. I don't want any of that. And as Christians, we need to understand, look, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be really upset about what's going on. It seems like our lives are being taken from us and things are changing and everything's horrible. But you know what? We have to look at things from a biblical perspective. In God's house, all is well. And if this world was all we had, I'd feel the same way. But thankfully, this world is not all we have. We won't be a second in eternity, and we'll thank God for living for Him and trusting Christ as our Savior. And as eternity goes on, we'll look back thousands of years, which is just the beginning, and say, man, that life was short. So let's not get caught up as that. And by the way, let me say this. It's not the message, but I'll throw it in. The wicked aren't prosperous necessarily. When we say that, we're looking at the outward trappings. We're looking at the nice cars. The you know, you see the people and they have the beauty queen wife. By the way, where is she 5 years from then? Okay, she's taking half of your money. Remember, I was listening to, back when I used to, I was listening to sports radio one time. They had Michael Strahan on there. And he went through a high-powered divorce with his wife, and she got like $100-something million. And the guy asked him, he goes, that cost you a lot of money, $150 million. And he said this, it was worth every penny. He doesn't sound too happy. But that's not, we look at the outward trappings and we think that that's success and that's the life. And by the way, if we're not careful, we buy into that. We talk about the Instagram life. We look at what's on Instagram and like, that's not life. No, that's a snapshot. I mentioned before, like on our vacation, you know, we'll show pictures of, oh, we stopped by some beautiful thing. What about the 3 hours in the car after that with the little demons? Okay, we didn't do Instagram then, did we? We wanted to show you the nice tree and the waterfalls. Now, back to what we're talking about. But as David looks at this, I want you to tell you, I want us to focus in on a couple verses towards the middle of the psalm that really, really tie it up for us. Look at verse 23 and 24. That's what we're going to look at tonight in our brief time. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You see, as we look at, or as some are tempted to do, to look at those that don't know God and to type and try to sometimes compare our life to theirs, that's not how we should. We ought to look at the path or the life or the journey that God has for our life. See, you want to live the life, you want the trip of a lifetime, that's the path of following God's will. That's the path of letting God direct your life and not falling into the trap of what this world has to offer. So here's the good news. Living for God each and every day is the trip of a lifetime. It's the only life that will satisfy. It's the only life that will completely give you everything you're looking for. See, we look for the stuff, but we look for it in the wrong places. We want security. Security is only found in God. We want joy, and we think joy is found in money or this or that. No, joy is only found in God. And so tonight I want to look at this. As I look at these verses, I see that there are six elements that can help us as a Christian to live our life and really see it as the trip of our lifetime. First of all, I want us to notice our steps. Look at verse number 23. He says, the steps of a good man. Now, what are steps? Steps are what we take that cause us to travel. They cause us to move. When we're going somewhere, before GPS, I don't know if you guys all remember the AAA strip maps. How many anybody remember those? Those are really old school. We would say, here's where we're going. We're going from here to Moses Lake, Washington, and you go to AAA, and they would put this little map, and each map had 70 or so miles on it, shows you what the next city is and all that. Now we just have GPS in your car, and it tells you everything you need right there. But it helped you as you're making progress. You're going in a direction. That's what our steps are. That is the path we are traveling. In the context of Christianity, it involves us traveling in the direction of God's will so that we can finish the path he has given to us. God's will. That ought to be the direction of our life. That ought to be the steps every single one of us take. Our life ought to be, Lord, what is it you have for me? And that ought to be what we do. I hope that we would want to be like Paul, where we get to the end of our life, and as he says in 2 Timothy, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He saw the end of his life, and here's what he said. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course to taking the right steps in our life, because the steps that we take are an indication of our faith in the Lord. You don't have to tell me what kind of Christian you are. Let me just watch the way you walk. Let me see where you are going. When we have the right steps, it reminds us really of devotion, because the steps we take are a result of our devotion to the Lord. And when we follow God's will, it brings us closer to him. And the fact of the matter is, the closer we get to God, the more we will follow his direction and his will in our life. A person that has no desire for God's will, a person that has no desire to follow God each and every day, I can say this, they are not spending time with God. They're not devoted to him. They're not in his word. They're not letting his word work in their life. You see, because you'll never know God's will without following God's word. That's step one. See, we're all looking for that. We're all looking for that, you know, and I've heard the stories, you know, these preachers, and I'm not against them. It's how God worked in their life. You know, I was praying about going to this church, and I saw this sign, or this thing happened, or that thing happened, and that showed me God's will. That's great. But you know what we really need? We're all worried about that type of stuff. I know God's will is in this book right here, and I need to follow it each and every day. And I guarantee you this, if you follow that each and every day, you'll get to exactly where you're supposed to be. You don't need some bright light to show you. You don't need some dream. You don't need some, you know, out-of-body experience, whatever it is. You'll be exactly where God wants you to be. But we have to grow in our faith, or we'll never take the steps that we're supposed to take. It also reminds us of our direction, of our direction. When we're following God, that is a direction. I don't really care too much where you are at in your faith right now. I care which direction you're going in. You could be farther down the road than somebody else in your faith, but if you're not going the right direction, I'll take someone down here that's headed that direction. Your direction is everything. Our steps, the way we choose to live our life, shows the direction we are headed. Now let me just say this. If our steps are more in tune with the world, then we're more concerned with the world than God's will, and that's where we're headed to. Well, if we're following the world, listen, the world's going to try to direct you in your life. As Roman tells us, be not conformed to this world, pressed into its mold. It has a path that it wants you to take. And, you know, the world talks about being different, then why is everybody the same? They're trying to get us to conform. But if we're following the world, there's no way we're going to end up finishing God's will for our life. Quit looking to the world. You know, the average worldview of the Christian is not determined by God's word. It's determined by who they're hanging out with, what they're watching, and who they're allowing to influence them. You wonder why. Look, I've had people, and I guess as a pastor, people just think they can tell you things, and by telling you, it's okay. Just people that say they're Christians tell me goofy things, and I'm like, that's not even a biblical concept. Yet that's how we run our lives. We're supposed to be directed by God and his word. Our steps can also be directed by our flesh. And when that happens, we're more directed by ourselves than we are the Lord. But if we're going to have the right kind of path in life, we need to make sure our steps are right. And the genesis, or the beginning of correct steps, is a correct relationship with God. Let me ask you, do you have that? Or you just get up in the morning, get ready, and go on your way? You ought to get up every morning, spend time with God, and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Our steps. But he talks about a second thing. He also says our stature. Continue on. The steps of a good man. What is our stature? That's who we are as individuals. God wants us to be good. And in verse 3, he said, trust in the Lord and do good. Good means moral good, moral righteousness. You see, I think one of the reasons people struggle with following God's will is because they just don't want to live God's way. They just don't want to give God's way. I mean, I remember I'd sit in church as a 18-year-old and everything was brand new to me. As a Christian, just as any, I didn't go to church. And the pastor would get up and he was pretty straightforward. And I'm like, that's some crazy stuff. I've never heard that before. Is that how a Christian's supposed to live? And by the way, it wasn't any of it, wasn't what was going on in my life. But you know what? I just said, if that's how a Christian's supposed to be, I'm in. I'm following God here. And so if I'm following God, I'm not going to be the one leading. I'm going to let God lead. And I incorporated those things to the best of my ability in my life. And if God wants me to be good, I'm going to be good. If God wants me to be moral, I'm going to be moral. If God wants me to be righteous, I'm going to be righteous. And by the way, not just when someone's looking. School's starting, so we'll just throw it out there. I hope you weren't messing around this summer. Our school is not so you can be here 9 months and then take the summer off. We ain't going for that. That shows us who you really are. I want our school not to be full of kids who are perfect, but kids who love God and have a desire for God, and in spite of all that's going on around them, they're trying to go the right direction. We'll work with that. Let's make sure that we're trying to be morally right. Sinful people are not going to walk sanctified paths. It's just not going to happen. And you just cannot separate it. Christianity demands a change in your life. It demands that you live different than this world. It demands that you do everything you can to live righteous and holy in a world that is completely off the rails, that is completely unrighteous and unholy. Let's make sure we're trying to be a good person. And it's hard. I know you go to work. They know you're a Christian. They're going to say things. I've been down that road. But to be honest with you, I really don't care what they say as much as what God thinks. We got to live right. We must choose to live right. And if we're headed in His right path and we're taking the right steps, we are going to live differently. I say it over and over. How much different is your life than those that don't know the Lord? I think several weeks ago we preached on what's the difference in our life than an atheist. Fact of the matter is, for most Christians, there's not much difference there. But God wants us to be good. God wants us to be morally right. And by the way, that's not to earn God's favor. That's because we already have God's favor, and we're just trying to please Him as a good son or a good daughter. Sometimes we think, I have to earn God's favor in my life. No, God's favor comes as a result of His grace. God bestows everything to us because of His grace. And He asked us to use that grace or make use of that grace so that we can live a righteous life, so we can honor and please Him in everything that we do. And I hope that that's your goal in your life. You'll never separate the way you're living from where you end up in life. See, some people, they get to a certain point in their life and they look back and say, man, how did I get here? Well, you didn't get there by living for God. If the person ends up in a bad place, it's the result of the actions they've allowed themselves to take in their life, which put them on a bad course. Serving God, there may be some difficulties in it, but I guarantee you, you're not going to end up in a bad place. Thirdly, I want us to see our security. The steps of a good man, and this should be encouraged, are ordered by the Lord. There is security that comes with knowing that we are taking the trip that God wants us to take in our life, and that we are following the path that God has laid out. See, God orders those steps. If we try to order our own life, that's where problems come. But when we allow God to order our steps, that's where security is. That doesn't mean that you may not face some things in your life. That doesn't mean you may not go through difficulties. That may not mean that there are some things in your life that maybe we would look at and say, those things are unpleasant. But there's security in knowing that no matter what happens in our life, if we're doing the right thing, we are in God's will, and we're where we're at because that's where God wants us. There's a security in that. Then we know that we're not going through things alone. As I mentioned, as he talked about the wicked who seem to prosper, what happens when they have problems? Asaph said in Psalm 73, goes, they don't have problems like other men. No, he wasn't seeing everything. They had problems. The only difference is when their problems came out, they didn't have that security, that assurance that God was working in their life, that God would still take care of them. There's a security in knowing that if I'm following God's will, I'm going to be right where God wants me to be. I don't have to come up with things on my own. Our security. We have a hard time understanding what a wonderful thing it is to have our life and path laid out by the God of the universe. You know, He knows everything, honestly. He knows you better than you know yourself. God knows exactly what's best for you. But so far too often, we allow others to try to lay our path out for us. The average college student, I think it's 70 or more percent, don't even work in the field where they get a degree because they're just floating along life, and someone suggested this, and it sounded like a good idea. I thought I would like this, and then they get there, and it's like, that's not what I was made for. It might be nice for us to find out what God wants in our life. It might be nice to find out what direction God wants us to go. Because He is God, He can provide what is best for me. When someone says that they love God but will not fully follow Him, to me, there's a faith disconnection there. You see, God isn't something we just add to our life. It's not just a bumper sticker we put on our car. You know, when I got right with God, I was saved as a Christian, I had a motorcycle. And I didn't know how to let others know as my Christian. I just put a bunch of tacky little, you know, stickers on it. You know, the fish thing and all these little tiny stickers. And I thought, hey, I'm telling everybody I'm a Christian. It kind of made my motorcycle look a little janky there for a little bit. Okay, but you're not a good Christian just because, you know, or you get a Bible holder, Jesus is Lord. That's great. You wear the t-shirt, you know, He's my Savior, He's my lifeguard, or whatever you want to wear. And I'm not against all that. But that's not Christianity. It's when we allow God to really do something in our life. It's when we would desire maybe one thing, but we know God wants something else, and we say, Lord, I'm going to just follow what You want. Next. The trip of a lifetime also includes our satisfaction. It says this, and He delighteth in His way. What does that mean? There's something delightful about following God's way, about being in God's path. It brings a joy to our life. It brings a satisfaction. Now, who does it bring a joy and a satisfaction to? Well, I think it delights God. I think it brings joy to God to see His children doing the things He's laid out for them. Isn't that how parents are? They see their children trying to do the right thing or trying to do the things that the father or the mother has trained them to do. And it's like, that's delightful. That's pleasing. Well, it's the same thing when God looks down and He has a child that says, Lord, I'm not perfect and I don't have everything, but I'm going to follow You. I'm going to let You order my path. I'm going to be a right kind of person. Satisfaction only comes from following His way. Delights God. But when we seek to do our own thing, it may not be very delightful. We're letting somebody else drive our life. It might cause trouble. Delights God. If we're going to do that, we must put our priorities straight. We must put Him first in our obedience and in our affections. But it doesn't just delight God. It's also delightful to us. See, there's a satisfaction in life that comes from following God. There are a lot of things you can miss out in life simply by living right. Do you know, we think of sin as, you know, you do something wrong and God's looking down from heaven, and as soon as you do wrong, God's looking so He can punish you right away. That's not how it works. Do you know, most of the sin has built-in consequences. And God's trying to keep us from that sin because He knows that if we get into that sin, it may be pleasurable for a season, but the payoff is really, 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 really bad. So there's a satisfaction and a joy that comes from following God to the Christian. Satan has tricked us, though, into thinking that following God is nothing more than a life of boredom and drudgery. By the way, why would we listen to him in the first place? I mean, you look, and I tire of this Christianity that does, you know, well, it's just a bunch of rules and regulations. No, it isn't. It's legalism. No, it isn't. Legalism is adding works to salvation. And we've tried to bring people into Christianity by lowering God's moral law and letting them know you can come to church and you can have church and then you can go out the rest of the week and live your life and do your own thing. That doesn't work. By the way, when a person does that, church has no effect for them. It has no help for them. And you just got a bunch of people at church and no one's serious about God, and they go home and they're no different than their neighbor. There's no satisfaction in that. But God wants us to be satisfied. God wants to work in our lives if we'll follow his path. And then I want us to see our stumble in verse number 24. I like this. This is encouraging. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Utterly cast down means to be thrown out or cast away. You see, let me just say this. None of us are perfect. Say, that's shocking. I didn't know that. I'm pretty sure you knew that. None of us are perfect. And you're going to get on that path and you're going to try to do the right thing, and sometimes you might do something wrong. Now, I'm not talking about the gross immorality or any of that stuff like that. I think you can stay away from that. But none of us are perfect. And so what happens is sometimes we have a little stumble or we do something that is not consistent with what we want to be, and we get discouraged and we get down. And God says, listen, that's just temporary. Get back up and go the right direction. You travel that road, it may not always be easy. There's bumps, there's dips, there's all that stuff, but you can still go forward. And if you have a stumble or something happens, get up and go forward. God does not get rid of us just because we do something wrong. Now, I'm not saying that to say, go out and sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, when we're on the path, sometimes we get angry, we do something, we say something we shouldn't, and we get a little down about it, like, man, I shouldn't have done that. God's like, that's fine. Confess it, forsake it, go forward, and everything's going to be okay. It's only bad when it gets you off the path. And by the way, that's Satan's goal. That's why he condemns us when we do something wrong. How dare you do that? How dare you even try to serve God? And he tries to get us discouraged. He tries to get us down and push us away from where we're supposed to go. That's not God's plan. God wants us to get back up. God says, I still want you to work. And by the way, maybe you're here and maybe you've done something, even, you know, you've got involved in something that's kind of really deflected your life. You know what? Get back up. You say, yeah, but I'm suffering some of the consequences for my action, and I'm really feeling it right now. I know this. If you continue in the path you go, it's going to get worse. But if you get back up and try to go for God, maybe there's some things you'll have to deal with, but it's a lot better than staying where you're at. Get back on the path. Don't let it stop you. God's plan for sin is conviction, confession, and correction. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. By the way, you can't hide your sins from God. Okay, let me just throw that at you. Maybe you get down to pray sometimes and there's something on your mind, you know, and you've done or you, whatever, and God brings that to your mind, doesn't he? So I don't know what sins you're talking about. Get on your knees and ask God. He'll bring them to your mind fairly quickly. Yeah. And sometimes, I've done it, you try to soldier on. I'm just going to pray through this thing. And God's like, no, you're not. What does he want you to do? God just wants you to agree with him that what you did was wrong and get it right. Because you got a path to go down the road. You've got a course to finish. And God wants you to finish. And then lastly, I want us to notice our support. Why will we not be utterly cast down? He says, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Upholdeth means to lean around, to prop up, to support. See, I'm thankful that we don't just do things on our own. And I'm thankful that when tough times come, you know, not just man up. No, God says, I'm here to support you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to keep you. See, when we start walking down the path, we're not going on our own. God's there to help us every step of the way. The problem is, far too often, we don't ask for his help. We try to live the Christian life and do this and do that or do the other. We never spend time with the one who wants to be there with us. He wants to uphold us. To make it simple, without God's help, we can never finish our path. We can never fight our fight. We can never finish our course. We need God's help. Now, I want us to look at our lives tonight. What is the desire of your life? Very simple. It should be one thing. I mean, we could give all that. You know, my desire is to read my Bible more. You can give a bunch of, yeah, all that stuff. But really our desire ought to be just to follow God every day of our life. Our desire ought to be, you know, every day I live that I can say I'm right where God wants me to be and I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. Listen, if you're going the wrong path and things don't seem to be going well, get out of it. Don't stay there. I remember when I was in Bible college, I worked in Chicago, and it was quite a drive from the college, and there was a snowstorm one night, and we were carpooling, and so we got off of the college, and we got onto the main road, and we were taking off, and I did not trust the guy who was driving, and it became very evident really fast. He spun off the road into a snow ditch, and the snow was really coming down. We're like, hey, slow down, and he did not listen. So we got out of the car. We got the car back on the road. We were about a half a mile from the college. And he goes, okay, I'm going to go. And it was really snowing. And I'm just like, I don't trust this guy. I'm like, you know, we got like 45 more miles of this. And I'm like, I'm out. I'm going to go back to the car. I'm going to call off work tonight. And another guy with me said the same thing. So we walked back to the college. It was snowing so bad. At half a mile took us like almost an hour to get back. I got back to the college, we called into work, and they're like, you know, everybody's calling in because it's so bad. Well, we had a blizzard. What happened to those guys is a little ways down, it got so bad, they ended up at a fire station, and they were stuck there for 2 days. I was pretty glad that I bailed out on that trip. That was not a good trip. And I'm like, that was a smart move. You know what? If your life's not going the right direction, get out. Make your life following God's path. Because that's where everything is. Let's bow our head and close our eyes just for a minute this evening. What do I mean when I talk about it? It's just very simple. God's will. God's will. Everything in our life should be God's will. When we choose to disobey God and live a certain way we know is contrary to Scripture, we're choosing our will over God's will. When we choose to do that which is not right, we're choosing our will over God's will. When we look at the future of our life and we plan and do all those things and we plan God right out of it. By the way, and God doesn't want everybody to be a missionary to wherever. God wants everybody to serve Him. And God wants everybody to be open to exactly what God has for them. And if you're not open, then you're following your own path. You're following your own path. What is the desire of your life tonight? When you get to the end of the life, what do you want to say on your deathbed? I hope we can get to the end of our life and look back and say like Paul, you know what? I just tried to follow God each and every day of my life. I tried to find His will. I tried to know what He wanted me to do and give my everything to do that. I hope that's the desire of your life. Some of our young people, you need to put God back in the equation. Quit letting other people direct your life. Father, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for Your word. Lord, we're glad that You didn't just save us, but You had more in mind for us after we trusted Christ. And I pray, Lord, You help each and every one of us to be the kind of person, just to live our lives 100% sold out for You. Lord, seeking to find what You want and just to do it. And Lord, that we would never say no to You in anything. Bless us now until we go our way and we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.